Our scripture reading for this evening comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And the Bible's on the back of the pew. It can be found on page 941. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And it reads, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes."
Good evening. Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Glad you're here. It's good to be with you. We're thankful to our God who's blessed us yet again with another opportunity to be together to praise and adore him. I won't be able to tell you tomorrow how much I appreciate your thoughtfulness and prayers already on my behalf and your kind words and well wishes, so let me tell you that tonight. I really do appreciate it. It's very humbling. Easy to pray for other people, a little tougher to be prayed for, but I have greatly appreciated your kindness and your outpouring already, and we trust all will go well, but we're very thankful. And you know we're family because somebody out there was talking to me and they said, "Well, after this surgery, you'll be able to sing like an angel." Somebody else overheard that and they said, "Surgery's not going to do that much. It's not going to do that." So hopefully, who knows these things, we'll come back and sing like whatever an angel sounds like. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Our Lord has finished speaking and teaching, and it's a section of scripture where we just read where the people were astonished at the sayings. Now, when you read that, you should appreciate that that goes back to chapter 5. All the way back to chapter 5 when the Bible says he sat down and opened his mouth and began, and he taught them. He began to speak. And so what we call the Beatitudes was some of the first words our Lord said. And he continued that throughout chapter 5, into chapter 6, and all of the subjects on which he touched and the things that he said, he didn't say them like other people had said before. He didn't quote anybody. He didn't reference any teacher. He didn't say, "You know, they say." He said, "I say unto you." And when he finished speaking, that was the reaction. They were amazed at his doctrine, for he didn't teach like anybody else. He taught as one having authority. The reason such a conclusion could be drawn takes us back to the beginning of the book of Matthew, where we read in chapter 1 and verse 23 that the virgin shall have a child, a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so whether or not they knew it, we do. That the one who sat down and began to teach was God in the flesh. And so no wonder it had authority behind it. Last week, we looked at a section in chapter 6, verse 9 to about verse 15, where our Lord talked and taught on the subject of prayer, which would have again been rather amazing, that God was teaching people how to pray to God. It would certainly have been a lesson worth learning and making great notes in application. In chapter 7, the section we'll look at tonight, our Lord actually offers some warnings. Three of them that we'll notice beginning, well, before that conclusion was drawn, going back up to about verse 12 and working our way down, we'll note three. Time permitting, we might note a few more, but we'll start with three and probably call it at that. The first warning with God in the flesh speaking takes us back to verse number 12, and that is this: it matters what kind of people we are. It does matter. God is watching how we treat others. And you and I need to be very aware of that. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. If you were to go back to chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15, you will hear that sentiment expressed with regards to forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. The sentiment is expressed throughout the New Testament. Earlier in the chapter, he talked about judging. Look back to chapter 7 in the first 5 verses. Before he makes the statement in verse 12, he talks about judging, and he says, judge not that ye be not judged. And some people have taken that to mean, well, you can't judge anybody. And that's certainly not what the Lord is saying. He'll explain. But he does say this with regards to judgment: in what manner you judge others, that's the manner that God will judge you. And so it warns us not to be harsh and critical, and certainly not to be hypocritical. He says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and considers not the beam that is in your own eye? First, take out the mote or the speck in your eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the beam that is in, or the speck that is in your brother's eye. And so the Lord says, take the beam out of yours, and then you'll see clearly. It matters. It matters to God how we treat each other. Why should that be important to Christians? Because our world has this great, great notion of live and let live. Or you, whatever you do to me, I will do to you. The world has no problem having revenge in their motives, doing harm and cutting corners and taking advantage. The world has no problem with this. God's people must. God's people must act like God. God people must think like God. God people must inevitably live like God. And Jesus is warning those who would be his disciples, it matters to God how we treat others. In fact, I think I've encouraged you before when looking at this passage. I'd encourage it again. It seems like a useful tool every time I read it. And that is to write down on a piece of paper how you would like to be treated. And I'm convinced that there is a reason we call people average, because in the end, roughly speaking, we're all the same. All generally want the same things out of life. We all want to be treated the same way, which would urge me to believe that if we did do the exercise and began to write down how we would want to be treated, I'm convinced our list would look eerily similar. And while we may word them differently, in the end, we would all want largely the same thing. Feel like I could just rattle off some words and they'd probably be on your list, they'd be on mine. I want to be treated with respect. Okay. I want to be treated fairly and equitably. I want mercy. I want grace. I want the benefit of the doubt. I want love. I want compassion. I want, and you just go on. I want. And the force of this verse says, whatever it is you want and whatever it is you believe men should do to you, you make sure you do that to others. With the thought that behind it, God is watching. And so there are 3 warnings here we should take notice of, and this is one of them. It does matter how we treat people. It does matter what kind of person we are. It matters to God. It needs to matter to us. Warning number 2, following right in the next section, it matters what road we choose. It matters. In fact, as you work your way through Matthew chapter 7, what you'll find is there are these constant choices. And generally, it's only one or the other. There are really two things presented constantly, and God is encouraging us, obviously, to choose the spiritual. It matters what road we choose. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Polishing the Pulpit does a thing every year where they give a flash drive of nearly every sermon that's preached for the week. So if you stay through Thursday, you get a jump drive and they hand them out, and you can have, 100 and some odd speakers, 100 and some odd, I mean, so many sermons on the flash drive. So I have one in my car and I'm listening to it. This afternoon, I'm listening to a preacher. I don't know his name. I just pick and randomly select somebody I haven't heard or I don't know, and I start listening. This point makes me think of what he said. He said he likes chicken strips. And I don't know what the name of the restaurant is because I had never heard of it. It's somewhere in Alabama. But he said all they sell is chicken strips. In fact, he said, let me tell you the whole menu. There's about four things. And some of those were sauces, chicken strips. He says, when I go there, I know what I'm going to get. In fact, I don't have a choice. If you eat at this restaurant, you will have chicken strips. Guthrie's. Does that sound right? Does anybody know Guthrie's? Nobody? Anybody? I see some nodding. I see some hands. What do they sell? Chicken strips. I just learned that. Chicken strips, that's what they sell. He said, you go there, you get a plate, but you only put one thing on your plate. That's all you can do. He said, but when you go to Golden Corral, he said, you can have a plate. In fact, he said, sounds like he's been to Golden Corral. He said they're colored plates, and they bounce out of the thing. You push and they bounce out. He said they just jump in your hand, these plates. When you go to the buffet, he said you can have anything. He said you cannot fit it all on your plate. It's so many options. He said life is not like Guthrie's. He says not like this. You can only have one thing. He said no, life is a matter of choice. And you have to make decisions every single day. You've got to decide what you're going to put on your plate. Jesus said you can choose which road you'll travel, but you can only have God on one road with you. You cannot have God on both of these roads. And every day you've got to make a decision as to which road you'll travel. And Jesus is saying it matters which road you choose. It matters, in fact, eternally so. Enter at the straight gate. He talks about the wide road and the wide way that leads to destruction. Friends, you and I should appreciate. In fact, take Matthew 7, 13 and 14, put it with Galatians 6, 7 and 8, and hear the Apostle Paul say, be not deceived. If we were to blend those and put them together, we'd actually kind of modify it like this. Be not deceived. You can't travel the broad way and end up on the narrow road. You can't do it. The way that leads to life, you can't travel this road and get there. You'd have to be deceived. God will not be mocked. You travel the broad way, it leads to destruction. And most people are going that way. The other road is narrow and it is found because people are searching and seeking for the truth. It is a straight way. It is a narrow way, but that way leads to life. And it is as certain as the other. If we were to spin that positively, we would say this. Those who are faithfully traveling this road will end up in heaven. There is no other place they can go. That road leads to destruction, and it is as sure that that way leads to eternal life. Jesus says it matters which road we choose. You can only have God on the straight and the narrow way. But then thirdly, it matters who we follow. We were talking this morning in Bible class about evangelism and authority and that sort of things. And friends, I hope that as you and I move forward toward the next year, I hope that you and I will put evangelism and the idea of saving souls and thinking about the lost and being mindful of them firmly in our minds as a mission of the Lord's church. May we never stray far from ultimately that being one of our major reasons for being. Because there are people in the world who are believing false doctrine, and they will be lost as a result of it. Jesus warns, it matters who we follow. It matters who we believe. Beware, he says, of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then he continues, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. He says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You will know them by their fruits. It's not a matter of simply of what the teaching is. It is also what the practice is, which is exactly what Colossians 3:16 and 17 say. Whatever you do in word or deed, it is a matter of living. And there are far too many people who are not like the Bereans. They're not seeking the scriptures. They're not searching behind to see whether or not these things are so. Friends, may you and I, not even in the Lord's body, get so at ease in Zion that we stop checking behind preachers. Amen. May we not. Thank God we did the challenges so you could know. Hey, I read that and Brother Eric got that wrong. Somebody see me at the back. Hey, I was just reading that section. That's not what I read. Good. Come talk to me at the back. But don't let it be. Well, Brother Eric said it, therefore it must be. No, sir, no, ma'am. You search behind. You check the scriptures. You see whether or not these things are so, even in the Lord's body. If more people were doing that in the Lord's body, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. And yet things do come in because brethren aren't checking behind. Our Lord finishes with three more things, but friends, we're going to not go over those. We're going to table those for another time. Working on a new book, and I'll spend some of this time hopefully doing that and meditating and praying and thinking about you, because I'll miss you and not be able to talk to you. But I do want you to imagine this, as it is one of the thoughts. It's the verses that follow. We'll not preach it tonight. I just want to reference it and let you read it and consider it as you think about evangelism and those who are lost. I've entitled the thought, "The Saddest Scene Ever Seen." Saddest scene ever seen, it follows. It's verses 21 to verse 23. It's your family and your friends. It's my family. It's yours. It's ours. It's the people that we love. It's people that we know. It's people who were taught something, just like we just said about it matters who you follow. It matters what teaching is done. Not everybody teaches the truth. About a person who lives their lives devoutly based on what they have been taught. In fact, individual might be known for being faithful and devout and a Christian, a faithful person, and people may call them that, and they may live a life. And in fact, people who know them reference them as, now that's the kind of person. I want you to imagine that person obeying whatever they were taught at 20. Living their lives for the next 55, 60 years based on that conviction that they were taught. Pillar in their community. A person who lived it. They didn't guess about it. Well, I mean, they lived what they believed. Person is now at home in their bed, getting near the end, surrounded by family and friends. That last, they succumb and they take their last. Oh, you would know that the pain and the sorrow would fill the room, and yet they would have what we would have. They would have in that moment a thought that, well, he's gone to a better place. A few days later, they'd make some arrangements, have a funeral. People would stand up and speak about him. What a life they lived. How devout they were. How committed to God they were. What a wonderful example they were. Family and friends would mourn him. That person would arrive at the proverbial gates of heaven to be met by Jesus, not Peter. And what you're reading in verse 21, 22, and 23 is a conversation that that person and the Lord would have. And it would go something like this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me, then that person will have an opportunity per the text. They start talking and they say back to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name and in your name cast out and in your name and in your name we did this, that, and the other. And then Jesus, after hearing them, will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity. I knew you. I never approved of you. We never had a relationship. 50 years. 50 years I dedicated my life to you. I never, ever, ever, not one day did I approve of your life. Try to imagine a scene more sad than a person giving their life for God, arriving in eternity, and being told, we never. If you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. People need the gospel. And they are believing things that the Lord never taught. And they can then be convicted and live it. But Peter is not the one who will meet you. It'll be Jesus. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. May those of us who have the truth have a heart and a mind toward those that are without. And while we are not obligated to convict anybody, let us seek, let us teach, let us try to save those that are without. Because they will be one day in for the saddest scene I can possibly imagine. To find out then, eternally too late. It matters what we believe. It matters who we follow. It will matter eternally so. Not a Christian tonight, please become one before it's eternally too late. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and turn, repent, change your heart, change your mind, change the direction of your life. Jesus said, if you don't, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Jesus and be immersed in water and let him save you through his blood, washed in his blood, Revelation 1:5, for the remission of our sins, Acts 22:16, to be saved, 1 Peter 3:21. Friends, as you go forward into this new year, things you want to accomplish, don't forget about the people that are lost. Don't forget about the people who don't know Jesus. Let's pray to God for opportunities. Let's pray to God for open doors. Let's pray for God that we might present the truth before they go into eternity. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we can help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.